Bob headed for the exit. He pinched his hat to Marty on the way by and gave a wave to Bullock, who was busy drawing a round of beers. At the Batwings, he paused for a moment, standing off to one side and gazing out into the dimly lit street, letting his eyes adjust to the change in the lighting from the well-illuminated interior of the saloon. Noting that the street seemed a little darker than usual, he guessed he'd find that a few of the lanterns posted at regular intervals along the way had burnt out. He was thinking this as he stepped out onto the boardwalk. Bob hurled himself backward before a double-barreled shotgun, both loads triggered simultaneously, turned the Batwings into shredded slivers of pulp, hanging limp and ragged on their hinges. Bob struggled to remain upright even as the Batwing doors were pulverized by the shotgun blast, buffeting him with a boiling cloud of dust and spinning wood shards. Bob leaned into the cloud, sweeping the .44 from his hip.
Everybody! Get down and stay that way!
Bob lunged forward and rushed out through what was left of the Batwings, cutting immediately and sharply to his left, the opposite direction from the double-barreled blast. The marshal made long, desperate strides for the north corner of the building, while at the same time extending his right arm out behind him. He made the corner and pitched instantly to his left again, diving into the shadow-cut alley at the end of the building. He went into a roll and came up, hugging the shadows pulled deep against the outer wall. His fingers automatically began replacing the spent cartridges in his Colt. The corner he had just rounded took the punishment from this discharge. More wood torn away, exploding into whirling slivers. Bob's mind did some whirling too, as he snapped shut the Colt's loading gate. He was momentarily torn between two courses of action he could take, but the decision got made for him, sort of. When one half of his options, the one that involved charging across the front way, was suddenly removed as being even the slightest bit viable. A second gunman opening up from across the street, from another mass of thick blackness where a street lamp was not burning. The second shooter wasn't using a shotgun, but rather a repeating rifle that was pouring a hell of a lot of lead into his alley and making it plenty hot for him. Since the alley was fairly wide but offered nothing in the way of cover, he had little choice but to stick tight to the shadowy wall and keep dropping back. In fact, he decided he'd better drop all the way back and be quick about it. But Bob was damned if he was going to fade back too easily. Targeting on the rifleman's muzzle flashes, he triggered three more quick return rounds with his Colt. It would have been nice to have heard a yelp of pain, indicating he'd scored a lucky hit, but none came. Still, it gave the ambusher across the way a reason to duck and hold his own fire for a minute as Bob's .44 slug streaked in. Trouble was, since he hadn't scored a hit, Bob knew his muzzle flashes gave the rifleman something to target on in return. With this in mind, he dropped low and shifted to the opposite side of the alley. The shadows weren't as dense there, but still murky enough to keep him from being clearly revealed. As he tensed for a return volley, the marshal began crabbing backward where a welcoming shadow grew deeper. Surprisingly, the next shot to rip through the night came not from across the street, but rather from the alley on the other side of Bullock's building. Only it wasn't a shotgun blast. It was a pistol. Bob slowed his retreat somewhat, puzzling at this. He had time to wonder for only a split second.
Cover me!
That was the rifle on the other side of the street opening up, only this time it wasn't sending more lead in Bob's direction. It was aimed instead at the south side of the building.
What the hell?
Taking full advantage of whatever was going on, Bob turned and ran the remaining distance to the far end of his alley. Rounding the corner, he saw a pale glow of light spilling out from the back of Bullock's. He pulled up short and raised his Colt. A moment later, a shadow moved within the spill of illumination, and a stocky shape leaned cautiously out of the open doorway.
Damn it, Mike. That's a good way to get your head blown off.
I might say the same for you.
Bullock edged out a little farther and revealed the sawed-off shotgun gripped in his meaty paws.
I thought I told everybody to stay put.
When somebody is blasting the hell out of everything and threatening my saloon, I ain't likely to duck down and hide.
Who else is out here? Who's doing the shooting in the alley?
That gunslinger-looking fella you was talking to earlier. He jumped up and boiled out the back just seconds after you pulled that crazy stunt of charging out the front.
Damn, won't anybody listen?
Bob used the illumination from the doorway to finish reloading his gun. Then he brushed past Bullock.
Just stay the hell in there and don't let anybody else come out. Will you try to do that?
Bob edged around the corner of the building and into the south alley without waiting for an answer. As he picked his way forward, he could make out the shape of a man, identifiable by his wide-brimmed, flat-crowned Stetson, crouched behind a rain barrel near the mouth of the alley.
Quirt, it's me, Hatfield, coming up behind you. Come on, then. Stay low. There were two of them. You get either one?
No luck. I had the shotgunner in my sights, but then I stepped on a loose rock and lost my damn balance just as I was getting ready to shoot. I hate to say it, but I missed him.